Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today I have an amazing guest who currently works with middle-aged people who are in survival mode. So why don't you introduce yourself, Peter?
Hello, my name is Peter. I used to be investment banker and business developer. Then, after being in survival mode for over 10 years, I've experienced burnout, bankruptcy, and then I've retired to the family farm where I was exploring myself, post-traumatic stress, and I needed 240 weeks to come out of the survival mode and come out of the burnout. And I said, okay, if I wasn't that lucky that my family could support me and my businesses and everything could support me, I would need to do it much faster. All these psychotherapies, all these retreats, hypnosis, I've tried everything. You name it, I've tried it. And I said, okay, there needs to be a method to this madness. Why do we need 5 years to do it, to get out of the survival mode, to get out of the burnout? Why does it take so long? And then I started Jung. I became a Jungian coach according to the archetypes. And I noticed that Freud had another student. His name was William Reich, who said, okay, I don't want to do it in 240 weeks or 5 years, as Jung said that it needs 200 sessions with the psychotherapy in order to get on the way of individualization, as Jung calls it. And Reich said, okay, that's too long. I'll see how this is make, what's the physics behind all this mental stuff. Because we know that Freud already hinted at mental cognition. And then Reich said, okay, there is something between body and mind and this connection. So I'll go more into the physics of it. And he discovered that there is so-called particle organ. There is organ intelligence and organ energy. And that helped him devise organ accumulator. An organ accumulator is a device that helps psychotherapists move at least 5 times faster than the regular way if you just go there and talk with them. So when I was going all the wrong ways, taking all the wrong advices and doing all the wrong stuff, I've discovered organ wellness. And I've developed a method that right now we're able to help our clients make quantum leap in 12 days. What I needed 240 weeks, I can now with 8 coaches, I can And of course, if you're healthy and you don't have too much trauma, I can help you achieve in just 12 weeks in sorry in 12 days on one retreat. Then I have an online program where I teach people how to do it in 12 weeks. That's an individual one-on-one coaching, extra intensive, so it's almost impossible. If you have a high stress job, it might not work for you. Then I have a half year program, a year program, and a 2 year program. And of course, I have free resources for people in their midlife so they can do it according to Jung in 5 years on their own.
Thank you so much for that. You said so much in that short period of time, and I have so many questions now. So let's first start with you, if you don't mind. I would like to know a little bit more about that journey for you that landed you on the farm, just, picking up the pieces.
Yeah, so I was in investment banking, and investment banking is highly competitive. And I went, or I was a victim of grinding mentality, just grind, grind, grind. So I used to work 18 hours a day. I was so exhausted that I needed a chauffeur to drive me around. And it was impossible to get any recuperation for years. I was doing a regular gym and everything like that, but my body just kept gaining weight. My food plan was, or my diet was a total disaster. Too much sugar and all these other addictions that we have with the diet. And I was so my social circle started closing in on me because I was just impossible to be around with because I was in survival mode. So I considered everything to be attack on me. I was extra sensitive. I was my best girlfriends. I now understand them why they could not stand me because I was like the smallest thing would irritate me to basically start screaming or just being nasty. But it was just because I was in survival mode. I was so sensitive to the environment. And everything was do or die for me. I had a lot of overreactions. And I ended up in a lot of lawsuits because I'm so powerful. I need to take care of my lawyer will take care of that. And bullshit like that would just, I'm sorry, would do in the most cases. But then you get into lengthy litigations and stuff like that. It took me a really long time to understand that I'm in survival mode. But even when, so I had this intuition, I had this in me that I need to get out of Switzerland and to get on a farm and not be in a high stress environment in the city and just stop doing everything, just get my head together. How I identify that I'm in a survival mode. I had this long list, so bucket list of things that I want to do. And I was 40 years old, and the list was really, really long. And I said, okay, I didn't do that. I didn't do this. I didn't do some small things like buying a motorcycle or stuff like that. I want to have car collection. I want to have my own carpentry shop. I want to have free range animals. I want to have my own dog and stuff like that. So simple things. And I said, okay, what am I waiting for? What is the sense with that? And what I did it a really long time since what I call burnout to get out of the survival mode. And one of important topic that is almost never discussed is all my goals were societal induced. So they were not my inner goals. I did not know what are my goals. And I believe that is one of the biggest challenge of midlifers. I had everything. I was jet setting around the world. I had beautiful girlfriend. I had beautiful house. I had a lot of cars. I was doing vacation there and here. And I was so nervous in the vacation, always behind notebook and what will happen next. So it's just worth nothing. And then I was starting, what do I want? Why am I here? Just serving someone else, being more and more anxious all the time and depressed, and everything happened, and I was fat. I didn't like my body. I didn't like my diet. It was just, why is all this happening? The easiest thing on the world or in the world, it was to get fit. So why I'm not fit? So why do I eat junk food? Why do I? So all this stuff. So, and I attribute to most of it, I did not distinguish between my goals, my inner goals, or my sole purpose, as some would call it, and societal induced goals. And I had it all, but I was frustrated. So, for example, you have the latest model of Porsche, but then you just want to have this limited edition one that it's hard to get, or you want to have. So you're never satisfied. And one of a really important sign of survival mode is the dopamine addiction. Instead of, so I'm talking for men, I will also explain how it works for women, but for men, it works like this. You need to have a hard challenge, and that causes adrenaline or adrenaline rush or slow doses of adrenaline. Then you get in dopamine, but then you need to have endorphins. So you need to be happy. If you don't experience endorphins, then your goal was societal induced and not your own. That is the easiest way to see. For example, if you buy a new car, and after a week or two, you don't feel anything when you see your car. It's societal induced. It was not your goal. If you bought the right car and if you were not in survival mode, then whenever you drive this car, is that means that it's not dopamine addiction, it's endorphin. So you did something right. With women, there is one more thing that needs to be ticked in order to consider to be not to be in survival mode. That is a large portion of oxytocin hormone that follows endorphins. That means that you are, as a female, in a safe space. That means that you are following your mission. And now I just, when I talk with my clients, either in group sessions or individual or in retreats, I always ask them, so when you achieve a goal, what happens? Do you celebrate? Are you proud of this goal like 6 months down the road? Is that something that when you look back at it and say, okay, I look what I have achieved? Or is that, let's go, rush to the new thing? And survival mode keeps us from living our life fully and keeps us from being healthy. And it keeps us away from losing weight. It keeps us away from having successful therapy sessions. Because if you're in survival mode, you will not be able to absorb what your therapist is telling you because you're in survival mode. Is this gonna kill me? Do I need to run? Should I freeze? And that is how the therapy goes on. But when you're in a safe space, out of the survival mode, then you can say, okay, I made a mistake. Before that, when therapist said this might not be the best, you will find 100 justification why you had to do it like this. And there was no other way. Because, and it's the survival mode is the biggest destructor. Yes, it can help you survive. It can help you run your business through a difficult period. But overall, it's extremely dangerous and it will cost you your money and your health in the long run. And of course, even more important, relationship will suffer for sure.
Absolutely. And you said so much again, Peter, that I really loved. One of the things that I can relate to is I worked in commercial insurance. I used to work at Lloyd's of London. The level of competitiveness and stress that I experienced was immense. And I left that environment to start my business. And there was a period of time where business wasn't going so well, and I had to consider employment again. And it would have been easy for me to go back into insurance with the 13 years of experience that I had. I was a manager when I left. It would have been very easy for me to go in and make quick money. But having identified what my life looked like while I was in survival mode, and I was in survival mode for decades without recognizing that, it was I don't need the money that bad. I would take a job with minimal stress because I understand what it does to the body. And oftentimes, and we talked about this before we started recording, so many of us are operating in these highly competitive careers. We spend more than 60 hours a week working on showing up correctly. That does not include then having to cultivate further skills so that we are suitable to continue to move up the ladder, right? It almost becomes an obsession if you want to succeed, but we don't recognize how that shows up in our bodies. Another thing that I really found interesting, and I actually wrote a post about this yesterday, is oftentimes we spend so much time chasing someone else's dreams, someone else's version of success. We are on a conveyor belt that has been mass produced for us to be amazing employees, right? But we don't recognize the impact and the effect that it has on our emotional well-being, our physical well-being. And then we end up in this state of autopilot simply because we are on a conveyor belt that is taking us to a destination that isn't ours. So I found it very interesting that you brought that up because I feel like this is a very important conversation. We know that by 40, most people have changed careers at least three times. And because we're not having enough conversations about how impactful the careers that we choose are on our lives, people are making wrong decisions. And oftentimes they get to midlife and they're burnt out. They absolutely have nothing left, but they can identify why. So you recognize, listen, I'm not happy. This is not working for me. And you went to the farm to claw your way out of the state of burnout that you were in. You mentioned PTSD. You also mentioned this machine that helps with the body. And I want to just talk about that a bit, right? I don't think there is enough awareness about how trauma impacts us and how it lives in the body. It doesn't disappear. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
let's talk about that.
Okay. So first, we now know because of the MRI scans that trauma changes our neurological pathways. And what is our biggest advantage in organ wellness? We can change that back to a normal neurological pathways with the use of organ wellness and some other methods that we are using. Or if I oversimplify it, if you are really stressed about something or you are afraid of a spider, because we are able to, sorry, lost it there for a minute. So if you are afraid of a spider, we are able to change this pathway. So next time when you see a spider, you will still be afraid, but you will not go into the panic mode. So we are able to do that. And of course, we are now able, because I was in business for so long, we are now able to identify any business problem and connect it directly with a trauma, grudge that we hold, or a fear that we have. So we're working, or well, my team is working with a lot of companies where when we see a business problem, we can connect it directly to trauma of one of the main stakeholders in the company, and we can heal that trauma in order to take care of the problem. What I would like to stress, and I believe that is not expressed often enough, but it's extremely important, is that a lot of people is doing everything right in their life, but they're doing the wrong things. And this is where our frustration is coming. You mentioned, oh, I have achieved that. I don't know why things happen. Yes, because you did everything right, as you should, or you believed you should, but you did the wrong things. And that is why we end up in frustration, we end up in survival mode, and we end up burnout. And we're questioning the world. Why am I here? What should I do with my life? This job is taking me nowhere. My health is deteriorating. My happiness is deteriorating. My relationships are getting worse. So, where are we? And then we can talk about midlife crisis.
So, would you say, because I mean, you use that term midlife crisis, would you say that most people who are quote unquote experiencing that midlife crisis are actually recognizing that they're in survival mode and something needs to change?
Okay, let me complicate things a bit.
Please do.
Midlife crisis is not always connected to survival mode. So there is correlation, but not causation. I'm sorry, I'm a nerd. I'm a huge nerd and I do a lot of statistics and stuff like that. So I'm nerdy here.
Okay.
But so survival mode and midlife crisis are correlated. So every survival mode, so not every midlife crisis express itself as a survival mode, but every survival mode is a clear identification of midlife crisis.
That is rather interesting. What do you think is the reason that it's not both ways? Has that scientifically been uncovered?
Yes, I can tell because I'm a nerd and I have a lot of nerds around me because we do a lot of research. And yes, that has been uncovered because midlife crisis is really broad and can vary from survival mode. It can also be because of the lack of the safe space. And it can also be looking for a mission and purpose in life. And these are all, you know, Shakespeare was talking about to be or not to be. So it's this to be or not to be is the question in the midlife. It's not so deterministic anymore to be or not to be. We don't want to be suicidal here. But what should I be? Maybe it's also the question. And why am I here? Even if you're not in survival mode, you can have midlife crisis. And if you're not in survival mode, you will get. So, at least our goal is to help you get to the absolute clarity in your life much faster. But if you are in survival mode, if you have a huge unresolved trauma, first we will have to help you get out of the survival mode, find the safe space, start handling trauma. I don't want to say that we can resolve trauma, but I'll say we will help you catch that special moment when you're triggered by your trauma that you can decide whether you're going to use it as a trigger or it will be just warning that there is something. And when we teach our clients how to just use trauma as an experience and how to try to make it useful for them, then we get to the clarity part. And you also mentioned that every trauma is also in our body. So we start with grounding, because if we want to get trauma out of our body, we need to be grounded. And we don't want re-traumatize people, because that was an old way. We'll re-traumatize you so many times that you become numb to this trauma. No, that is not the way we are doing it. But what we do is we help you get grounded. Then, if I might be a bit esoteric, we will connect you to your higher purpose. That is, in more everyday terms, that means that we will talk about societal induced goals towards your inner goals. And before we can find our inner goals, we need to find our inner child.
That's very interesting you saying that, right? Because a lot of times there isn't a recognition that it's our inner child crying out for help often, right? So that reconnection with our inner child often brings a level of peace, right? If you can reconcile the residual impacts of the trauma the inner child is operating from, right?
Yes. And what we often encourage our clients is do what you like to do in your past. For example, if you check my Instagram page, you'll see that I'm doing puzzles and I'm doing carpentry, because that was my hobby when I was small. And I do a lot of things that I or playing with Lego or stuff like that. Driving around on the motorbike, because that was my favorite thing when I was a teenager. So it's you can relive these feelings, and that helps us many times, not always, because if the trauma is too deep, then we have to use other methods. But if you let your inner child somehow leave things, and of course, for example, I did some video games. I shouldn't go into dopamine addiction with video games, because that is not how you solve things. So there is a line what you allow your inner child. But mostly, if you find something that you liked as a child or you adored as a child, then you should work on that. And that will probably help you get closer to your purpose. That will also help you handle your everyday situations much easier or better, because your inner child will be satisfied and won't cry out and won't make a mess. And you will not be self-sabotaging to a degree that you might be doing now, because your inner child is not hurt.
This conversation has been rather interesting, Peter. The premise of this podcast is mainly storytelling, and the fact that you have brought the nerd with you and unpacked it from a scientific point of view, I think is amazing for the listeners. One of the things that I asked you before we start recording is to list like some common states that you as a practitioner would say immediately hearing, yes, this person is operating under survival mode. And I want to wrap up the episode in with that because I think awareness is key, right? And we've definitely discussed.
Can I nerd out here?
Yes, absolutely.
So, as a Jungian coach, I see a survival mode in every person that is in a warrior archetypes. So, if you are in a warrior archetype, if you see everything that endangers you and that you have to win, and there's an enemy and all this stuff, so the dark side of the warrior archetype is a survival mode. That is, in my practice with over 500 people last year, so 2024 alone, that was 100% true. I didn't find it elsewhere, but in my practice, 500 people, each of them that was in warrior archetype was in survival mode because of the dark side or the shadow side of the warrior archetype.
Very interesting, right? And that is, attributed to the hyper awareness constantly being in the fight, flight, or fawn state, right? Always having to heavily respond to stimuli in that someone else would just easily breeze off. So I
Can
think
I
that's.
nerd out a bit more?
Of course, Peter.
When you mentioned stimulus, I want to talk about that.
Okay.
So, on average, person ex nowadays living in the city, we experience about 20,000 outside stimulus a day, and about 40,000 inside stimulus a day. So it's inside and outside. And inside is even more intense. And when you get in the organ accumulator, that means that your stimulus goes down almost 70%. And that is why in organ accumulator, and William Reich, the student of Sigmund Freud, knew that. And that is why, because you are in Faraday's cage, basically. There's a lower electromagnetic field and a lot of positive things on top of that. You have 70% less outside cognition or whatever we sense. So a sensory overload of a normal person is lifted for 40, 45 minutes. And that enables our own mind, our subconscious mind, and our body to start regeneration process.
That
So
is pretty amazing.
whenever you have opportunity with or without organ accumulator, because organ accumulator is needed for, let's say, if you want to do it fast, but when you can go offline, when you can go into the quiet room, when you can go into the forest, where if you can just arrange your bathroom in a way that when you sleep, there's no phone inside, there's no smartwatch inside, there's no LED lamp turned on. No, even the small indicator lamp shouldn't be there. And that you don't have any outside noise. That is when your body will start regenerating fast.
That is pretty amazing. Now, usually I end these episodes with give us one thing that our listeners could action, and you just did. Giving ourselves the opportunity to reduce that external stimuli so that we can rejuvenate a lot faster. Peter, this has been an amazing conversation. So much so, I feel like I'm going to invite you back at some point because I think hearing it from a single person's perspective of their journey to and through survival mode is one thing, but really having this logical understanding of why things occur, I think is also quite amazing. And maybe it's because I'm a bit of a nerd as well, and this is what I do as well as a purpose and as a living. But Peter, just tell us, a bit more about your business, where we can find you online. And you've excited me in just by this conversation. Yeah, like tell us a bit more about you in case our listeners want to connect.
Unfortunately, I'm not perfect, but that helped me make all the mistakes that I made instead of my clients. So I can help my clients get from midlife crisis, from survival mode, into absolute clarity and safe space in the shortest time possible. And I've organized my business because I'm a really stingy person. I need to be honest about that. That's my trauma. That I organize so that we have a lot of free online resources available, webinars and different interviews and all the stuff like that. And I have different tiers of subscription. So if you want to be in a group coaching, you have one tier. If you want to have individual coaching with me, that's another tier and everything in between. So I offer a free consultation so that we can check, are your goals societal induced or are they your own? And you can always book a call with me. It might take a couple of weeks so that you get the right time to talk with me because I tend to be super busy until the summer. But nevertheless, I hope the link will be included and we'll just discuss your goals. And that is my business, just sharing my mistakes and with intention that you don't need to do the same mistakes, sharing the resources I now know because, as I said, I needed 5 years to get my, let's say, body and my head together. And if you are in a super stress environment, you would probably need to do it much faster. And there's where I come in.
All of your information I will definitely include in the show notes. And Peter, thank you so much for your time today. Listeners, this is another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break. You damn sure were not built just to survive. Let's disrupt the cycle. Let's reclaim your life. And it's time to thrive on your own terms. I'll see you next week.